See you in the spring.
And we thank you. Now, don't get nervous. Isn't it nice to have this cloud overhead? We've already been baptized twice. We were baptized Friday night, and we were baptized last night. And do you know what? Everybody stayed, with a few exceptions. The sissies. Everybody stayed with us. And so this is Sunday, and I think it would be very appropriate for us to have a little baptizing. Hope you've got your rain gear. But stick with us, because the show goes on, and if you go, my, you'll just miss a bushel and a peck. Right now, down by the boat landing, the song swap session is going on with Graham Cash, and a dulcimer workshop also down there. There are signs with Robert Dixon and Barbara Mueller, the dulcimer workshop. Just those two workshops are going on this afternoon. Now, let me see where I am. Be sure I'm on the right page. Oh, yes, who in the world is Gamble Rogers? Well, let's see who he is. Gamble Rogers from St. Augustine.
All right. Well, I'd like to get things started off right now with a little song that was written by an industrial spy for the Esquire Sock Company. He was sitting in a cow pasture in South Virginia. He had a pair of Bosch and Lomb binoculars with which he was ardently studying the Burlington Mills at the foot of the pasture. That's where they manufacture the good Gold Cup socks. He was trying to ferret out the secret of the reinforced heel for his employer. At his back was a monumental buttress which supported a trestle that surmounted the pasture, a trestle down which was wont to come at frequent intervals of the day and night trains bearing the proud heraldry of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railway. On this day of days, a train came thundering down that fatal stretch of track, driven by an overzealous engineer who attempted to negotiate the tenuous turn on the trestle with such unremitting derring-do that he ran the whole clattering equipage off amongst the palmetto muffins. For those of you unacquainted with flatland euphemisms, a palmetto muffin is a cow pie. This caused the industrial spy to lay aside his field glasses, pick up a spiral binder notebook and a pencil, and write out this immortal Appalachian rondelay, a song which is now part of the oral tradition. Well, I mean, it's a folk song. I know it's a folk song. It was recorded by John R. Cash, Johnny Cash, the man who put a whole generation of agrarian Americans into lace. Oh, tall picket white tray. Well, they give him his orders up in Monroe, Virginia, saying, now, Steve, boy, you're way behind time. Lord, this ain't 38, son, it's old 97. You just take her down to Spencer on time. Well, he turned around and looked at his black and greasy fireman, saying, now, shovel in a little more coal. And when we reach the top of this white oak mountain, son, you're gonna see old 97 roll. It's a mighty rough road, boys, from Lynchburg to Danville, and it lays on a 3-mile grade. On this grade, Lord, he lost his air brakes, and you should have seen the jump that he made. He was a-coming down the mountain, going 90 miles an hour, when the whistle broke into a scream. Found him in the wreckage with his hand on the throttle. He was scalded to death by the steam. You ladies, you best take warning, and from this day on and learn. Never speak harsh words to your true lover husband. He may leave you and never return. He may leave you and never return. You know, when I was trying to grow up in Orange County, Florida, we all used to sneak out when we were teenagers and go to a funky little joint out in the woods, a place called the Club Eaton in Eatonville, Florida. Well, now, they used to play feature out there what they referred to as boogie music. Now, I was no stranger to the old boogie myself. In fact, I played a pretty mean boogie on my axe. Well, that's not the way some of the folks that played out there played the boogie. They had B.B. King, Ike and Tina Turner, and the hardest working man in show business, James Brown. Now, when James Brown boogie, he'd come out there, he'd throw that microphone down the floor, he'd throw his legs over top of it and say, please, 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 and the crowd would go crazy. One time he's rocking and rolling down this end, please, 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 a young woman jump up and say, stop it, Jimmy, I can't stand it. He redoubled his effort. She took off running, white-eyed through the room, ran slapping the wall, knocked herself out. Now that's boogieing. Instantly, I seized upon the inherent potential of this art form, and I boogied diligently. But I never could achieve the same results James Brown did with his boogie. About the best I ever did was to get 2 Sigma Chi pledges to throw up in my guitar case at the University of Florida. Well, now, one time I was knocking around in front of John Gentile's pawn shop on Church Street, and this scabrous derelict comes crawling out of the alley, dragging a cracked Gibson guitar. He was the sorriest-looking creature I've ever laid eyes on. He looked like a spider in drag on the way to a penicillin transfusion. I said, who are you? He said, baby, I'm the boogeyman. I said, ciao, baby. He said, huh. And then he choked down on those old rusty black diamond drugstore strings of his, and a sound something like this came out. I said, what do you call that now? He said, baby, I call that trotting the strings. And all of a sudden, I realized what the difference was between his boogie and my boogie. It weren't nothing in the world but just trotting them strings. Thank you.
Went down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean. Well, the little girl led us way to the world, made the alligators look tame. Pork salad, Annie, gators got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was working on the chain gang. Every day about supper time, she would come on down by the truck patch, and she would pick her mess of poke salad, and she would carry it home in the tote sack. Poke salad, Annie, gator's got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was working on the chain gang. Drop the string now. You better stop drinking that wine, sonny boy. You better stop drinking that wine, sonny boy. Well, you know everybody's going out. Yes, everybody's moving in joy. You better stop drinking that wine, sonny boy. Yes, yes, yes. You better stop doing those up, sonny boy. You better stop doing those up, sonny boy. You know everybody's going out. Yes, everybody's moving in joy. You better stop doing those ups, sonny boy. Stop doing those ups now. Right down to it, the United States of America has only given 3 musical gifts to the rest of the world: the sousaphone, the banjo, and the blues. Now, Tony Joe White Lightnin' Hopkins, the men who wrote those 2 songs, are purveyors of the blues, a form uniquely American, uniquely beautiful.
Can't you see what
careless love has done. One of the greatest purveyors of American blues was a young man who died at the age of 29, a genius, and died riding in the back of a car going to a show date in Ohio. A boy from Alabama who won the hearts of millions. One of the greatest white soul singers who ever lived. The snow flies round my window, but it can't chill my heart. God knows it dies on the day. My dream world fell apart. Weary blues from waiting. Lord, I've been waiting too long. These blues have got me crying. Sweet mama, please come home. Sweet mama, please come home.
Oh. Hank Williams, the American Blues. Let's have a little bit of fun with the old guitar now. This is called the Cannonball Rag. People used to always come up to me when I was playing in these little places, and they'd say, they'd be from up in Ohio or Michigan or Illinois someplace, and they'd say, play the beer barrel polka. And I'd say, oh, I don't know it. Can I play this one? And then I'd play them the old Cannonball Rag. Thank you. Even Lawrence Welk likes to bug him. Bother me any if some of you'd get up and dance. Look out. Just for all my friends at Camp Blanding. I'll sing this one with me now. I'm the sheik of Araby, and your love belongs to me. At night when you're asleep, into your tent I'll creep, and the stars that shine above, they will light our way to love, and you'll rule my land with me. Yes, I'm the sheik of Araby. And you'll rule my land with me. Yes, I'm the sheik of Araby. I'm the sheik of Araby. Thank you so much. All right, be nice. Is there a man amongst you? Is there a woman amongst you? Who can tell me what is the meaning of nostalgia? Nostalgia. Is it following a bouncing ball? Singing along with those wonderful Mitch Miller sing-along? Is it rumble seats, running boards, and 1954 Chevrolet? Is it those old motion pictures of Humphrey Bogart classics, The Big Sleep, Casablanca? Is it Marlena Dietrich and the Blue Angel? What is it? What is it? You know, when I was growing up in Winter Park, Florida, we had two movie houses in our town. The Colony Theater at the south end of the street where they show the heavy psychedelic flicks like Fantasia. And at the other end of the street, the Baby Grand Theater. A dank, cavernous mouth of a place decorated in Renaissance redneck. Oh, we would sit in there of a Saturday matinee and scarf up on those Jujubes, Junior Mints, Milk Duds, Necco Wafers, Jordan Almonds, Biddle Honey, Sugar Daddies. Remember those little Sugar Daddies? Sticky things, weren't they? Get mad at your best buddy, Bogart, your Sugar Daddy, and stick it in his ear. And there was always some little idiot in the crowd. He would sidle out into the lobby in the middle of the picture with a box of butter popcorn secreted under his McGregor windbreaker, ease up to the water fountain, step on the switch, directing a clandestine crescent of clear water into the popcorn box, turning its contents into a soggy, glutinous, viscous vegetable mass of oily corruption and putrescence. He would then ease up into the balcony, and at precisely the heaviest part of the flicker, the patrons there below would be startled to hear from out of the Stygian void above the non-sonorous sounds of gastronomical distress as our young pilgrim leaned far out over the parapet, broadcasting the popcorn in a slimy torrent over their heads and shoulders, all the while going, they'd scatter like quail down there. Nostalgia. Ah, nostalgia, where is the spirit of pranksterism gone? There are no pranks anymore. I remember 3:15, school's out. Jump on your trusty Schwinn bicycle with a spring-loaded front fork. Pedal down to O'Brien's drugstore. Eyeball the prom queens trucking in and out. Judy Butler and Ada Andrew. Oh, Judy Butler. Teenage princess, sovereign subject of 100 million post-pubescent ruminations and fantasies, Judy Butler, in your little Angora sweater, your black and white saddle Oxfords and the bobby socks with the wool balls dangling down from behind, and all the Maitland boys queued up at the curb in their Skeeters. Now, don't you remember those Skeeters? Take a 49 Ford and cut the body off. You got a radiator, an engine, a chopped cowl, a seat over the chassis, and a gas tank made out of a discarded beer keg. Pull up there to O'Brien's drugstore, rattle those flathead V8s, and have a look at them prom queens like a cool cosmic cowboy. You got a nickel-plated Caterpillar tractor watch fob dangling off the rearview mirror. Now, Bender Snodgrass, he was a Maitland boy and a bad customer, a hard case. He had the baddest Skeeter there ever was. He called it the Immaculate Contraption. He took a tap and die set and threaded a spark plug into the muffler pipe of his Skeeter, attached the spark plug to a T-model coil and the T-model coil to a toggle switch on the dashboard. Now, one day, Judy Butler went trucking out behind the Immaculate Contraption. Old Bender sent her in the rearview mirror, revved up his engine, flicked the toggle switch on the dashboard, which caused the spark plug to go to sparking in the tailpipe. He deftly flicked off the ignition key, cunningly flicked it on again, which caused a pint and a half of unburned Sunoco 260 to course through the exhaust system right by the spark plug. It burned all Angora off Judy's sweater. Burned the balls off her socks. Nostalgia. What is nostalgia? Could it be sitting in Miss Beck's sixth grade classroom? Everybody say, hey, when you get to high school next year, don't get Miss Luella Lyle for a teacher. She's a witch.
My first day of high school, in walked my new homeroom teacher, Luella Lyle. 6.5 feet tall. She loomed above us like a myopic praying mantis. Blue rinse in her white hair, chalk white skin, bloodless lips, little eyeballs like pin light shining through a Missouri road map. She wore those Dr. Scholl's lace-up pedicure pumps and silk.